Isaiah's good news for all the nations. Isaiah was commissioned to make very plain to Judah that many who were not physical descendants of Abraham were to be numbered among the Israel of God. This teaching was not in harmony with the theology of his age, yet he fearlessly proclaimed the message and brought hope to many a heart reaching out after the spiritual blessings promised to Abraham's descendants. Isaiah is very bold, Paul declares, and says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me." Romans 10, verse 20. Often the Israelites seemed unable or unwilling to understand God's purpose for the heathen. Yet it was this very purpose that had established them as an independent nation. God had called Abraham, their father, to set out for the regions beyond, so that he might be a light-bearer to the heathen. The promise to him included descendants as numerous as the sand by the sea. Yet it was for no selfish purpose that he was to become the founder of a great nation in Canaan. God's covenant with him embraced all the nations of earth. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Genesis 12, verse 2. Shortly before the birth of Isaac, the child of promise, God again made plain his purpose for all humanity. "All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Genesis 18, verse 18. The all-embracing terms of this covenant were familiar to Abraham's children and grandchildren. The Israelites were delivered from Egyptian bondage so that they might be a blessing to the nations, and God's name might be made known in all the earth. Exodus 9, verse 16. If obedient, Israel was to be far in advance of other peoples in wisdom. But this supremacy had only one purpose: that through them God's design for all the nations of earth might be fulfilled. The miraculous events connected with Israel's deliverance from Egypt and their occupancy of the promised land led many of the heathen to recognize the God of Israel as the supreme ruler. Even proud Pharaoh had to acknowledge his power. "Go, serve the Lord," he urged Moses, "and bless me also." Exodus 12, verse 31-32. The advancing armies of Israel found that news of God's mighty workings had gone before them. In wicked Jericho, a heathen woman said, "The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Joshua 2, verse 11. By faith, Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Hebrews 11, verse 31. And her conversion was not an isolated case. The Gibeonites renounced their heathenism and united with Israel, sharing the blessings of the covenant. God recognizes no distinction of nationality, race, or caste. All people are one by creation. All are one through redemption. Christ came to demolish every wall of partition, to throw open every compartment of the temple courts, so that every person may have free access to God. His love is so broad, so deep, so full, that it penetrates everywhere. It lifts out of Satan's influence those who have been deluded by his deceptions and places them within reach of the throne of God. "All the ends of the world," the psalmist was inspired to sing, "shall remember and turn to the Lord, and the families of the nations shall worship before you." Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. "The nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory." From heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. Psalm 22, verse 27, 68, 31, 102, 15, 19-22. If Israel had been true to her trust, all the nations of earth would have shared in her blessings. But as Israel lost sight of God's plan, they came to look on the heathen as beyond the reach of his mercy. So the nations were left under a veil of ignorance. The love of God was little known, and error and superstition flourished. This was the situation that Isaiah faced, yet he was not discouraged, for ringing in his ears was the chorus of the angels: "The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah 6, verse 3. And his faith was strengthened by visions of God's church in glorious conquests, when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11, verse 9. The captivity brought good news to many. God gave the prophet a revelation of his plan for a greater good in scattering unrepentant Judah among the nations of earth. My people shall know my name, the Lord declared, Isaiah 52, verse 6. In their exile, they were to give to others a knowledge of the living God. Many among the strangers were to learn to love him as their creator and redeemer. They were to begin to observe his holy Sabbath as a memorial of his creative power. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God, verse 10. Many of these converts from heathenism would unite with the Israelites and go with them on the return journey to Judea. Ever after, they would be counted among spiritual Israel, his church on earth. The sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord, to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 56, verse 6, 7. God allowed the prophet to look down the centuries to the coming of the promised Messiah. Many were being led astray by false teachers. Others were not bringing true holiness into their daily living. The outlook seemed hopeless. But soon, a wondrous vision spread before the eyes of the prophet. He saw the Son of Righteousness, and in wondrous admiration he exclaimed, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Isaiah 9, verse 2. This glorious light of the world was to bring salvation to every nation and people. The prophet heard the Eternal Father declare, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Isaiah 49, verse 6. See also verses 8, 9, 12. Looking on still farther through the ages, the prophet saw the bearers of salvation's glad tidings going to the ends of the earth. He heard the commission. "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes, for your descendants will inherit the nations." Isaiah 54, verse 2, 3. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah heard the voice of God calling, that the way might be prepared to usher in his everlasting kingdom. The message was plain. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3, 45, 22. The church takes the good news to the world. These prophecies are being fulfilled today in the unenlightened regions of earth. The prophet compared gospel workers to banners set up to guide those looking for the light of truth. "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." Isaiah 11, verse 11, 12. Among all nations, the Lord sees men and women praying for light. They grope as if blind, but they are honest in heart. With no knowledge of the written law of God or of his Son Jesus, their lives show the working of a divine power on mind and character. At times, those who have no knowledge of God other than what they have received through divine grace have protected his servants at the risk of their own lives. The Holy Spirit is implanting the grace of Christ in the hearts of many noble seekers after truth, awakening their sympathies contrary to their former education. The light which gives light to every man, John 1, verse 9, is shining in their minds, and, if heeded, will guide their feet to the kingdom of God. God will not permit anyone to be disappointed who longs for something higher and nobler than anything the world can offer. Constantly, He is sending His angels to those who, surrounded by discouraging circumstances, pray in faith for some power higher than themselves to bring deliverance and peace. In various ways, God will place them in touch with events He has arranged that will establish their confidence in the One who has given Himself a ransom for all. Unto all the upright in every land there arises light in the darkness. Psalm 112, verse 4. God has spoken, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. Isaiah 42, verse 16.